All right, guys, welcome back to Shakedown Shan. I hope you guys are feeling a lot better than I am right now. Getting over a cold, it seems like everybody is. Nasty sore throat, congestion, clogged nose. I guess that's what congestion is, but whatever. So we got a bunch of snow yesterday. Thankfully, not as much as I was hearing. It was weird, though. I was hearing, like, 1 to 3, and then 5 to 8, and then someone said 13, and so I had no idea what to think. But it wasn't as bad as I was thinking.
You know, after the radio show yesterday, I went to the grocery store, probably 9:30, quarter 10. You couldn't find a place in that big Price Chopper parking lot. Everybody thinks the world's going to end.
I know.
They make you feel like that, though.
Yeah, there was I think it was Thursday, an alert came through the TV. It was that, you know, the big warning things for, like, when storms come through or, like, emergency alerts. And it was saying, stock up on your bread and your water and blah, blah, blah. We're not dying.
I know. And, you know, around here in this part of the country, they plow out and you can get out in the afternoon. I mean,
oh yeah, but after a few hours of the snow, it's not bad.
No,
it's like when it's first starting, it's the roads are iffy, but after a little while, it's not too bad. Do you have anything fun this weekend?
No, just the radio show, and I came home from work in the afternoon Friday. I didn't feel good, and yesterday I kind of laid low after, you know. So, do you have Monday off?
No.
No? Yeah, we have Monday off from, you know, the schools aren't in. Yeah. So maybe we'll do something tomorrow. Maybe my daughter will come over and, nice. You know, yeah.
We hiked Buck Mountain last weekend.
You did?
On Sunday, because it was like 50 degrees out.
Right.
We first went to a benefit breakfast. One of Noah's Cub Scout members has some kind of cancer. They had like a benefit breakfast at the firehouse. And the amount of turnout was incredible.
Really?
I don't know how much money they raised. I have to find out. But when we got there, not a place to park. People were parked up and down. And it's a big firehouse, too, for such a small town. Hadley.
Hadley, wow.
Yeah, for such a small town, the firehouse is huge. And the parking lot is enormous. So it was all filled. And then people parking up and down the roads. And it was going from, like, 8 to, like, 11. We got there at 9. It was still packed. And then people were still coming in, and it was really nice to see.
You know, I like that. I mean, these small towns and that the turnout for things is really large. I mean,
yeah.
I think that's really neat too. You know, I mean, I don't know. You don't get that in bigger.
Right, and it's like I don't even know this many people lived here. but yeah, that was really really nice. Food was good. Lots of options.
Good.
I was like thinking, I'm like, oh, I'm probably only going to be able to eat like eggs and toast because I don't eat meat. I'm like, it's probably sausage and bacon and ham. But they had home fries and danishes and lots of good stuff.
Now,
there.
Do you eat eggs or no?
Yeah, I eat eggs.
Oh, you do? Yep. Okay.
And they had pancakes and French toast. And they even had strawberries and whipped cream for your.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really cool.
That's neat.
Yeah.
How was your week? Pretty good, other than getting over a cold.
Yeah, week was pretty good. I was a little sore after the hike on Sunday. Buck Mountain ended up being like a 7-mile hike.
Wow.
We weren't really prepared for that amount of hiking.
I give you a lot of credit. You guys hike quite a bit, you know.
We do.
Too, and
sometimes it's random and we just get ourselves into something we didn't know we were getting ourselves into.
But that's fun, though.
It is fun. It was had a lot of steep areas. I mean, steeper than we've ever seen, and we do a lot of mountains.
Yeah.
And the last long stretch of it, it's like almost looking straight up, like it's all open rock face.
Yeah.
And you see this one tree at the top, so it's kind of cool looking, and you're just like, oh my god, how am I even gonna get up there? And we were dying.
But you want, and you walk up. You don't do any.
No running.
No.
Okay. It was probably a lot slower than walking. It was more like almost crawling.
Now, do you rock climb at all?
No.
No.
We like go to rock climbing places, like indoor rock climbing, and we've done that once, and it was a lot of fun. We want to do it again. But we don't like rock climb outside or anything.
Right.
Yeah. Joey has a cousin though that does the bouldering.
Oh.
Without like any gear or anything.
Oh, I couldn't do that. Paw hand.
Yeah. Ugh. Scary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nah, never. Never.
Yeah, so I know you wanted to talk about the criminal justice reform.
Yeah.
That just happened in New York. You want to give a little background on that?
Sure. Okay. Well, we heard at at the end of last year that Mayor de Blasio in New York City was going to give out gift certificates to criminals that didn't commit bodily harm offenses. And this way they wouldn't be allowed, you know, they'd be let go. They wouldn't have to post bail. And that was an enticement to come to court. Well, January 1st, Governor Cuomo's bill took effect that they listed, I don't know how many crimes that you wouldn't have to post bail on. And so far, one of the reasons why they passed this law, they said because for poor people and certain minorities, it's unfair to them when they commit crimes because they can't afford the bail. So anyway, January 1st, the law took over, and it's been horrendous since then. I mean, we have a local person. I don't know if you have the information on him. He committed, if he got caught stealing something, and he didn't have to post bail. He got out, and he murdered someone. This was in Albany. There's a million things that, I mean, there's been so many major crimes committed after people commit multiple crimes. They go before the judge, they're let out with no bail. They commit a crime the next day, they're let out with no bail. Mm-hmm. One gentleman was four times every day robbed a bank. And he ended up, after the fourth time, he ended up being let out and he murdered somebody. So I think it's a complete bust. And I know one of our Republican he's in the Senate now, Jim Tedisco, is proposing a bill to eliminate Governor Cuomo's bill. So it's terrible.
Yeah. I know we were talking a little bit about this after the show last time, and we both agreed that, like, it's fine when it comes to nonviolent criminals and, like, mm-hmm. victimless crimes. Like, that's okay. But when you've got these people that are creating victims out of their crime and are being violent, there's no reason that they should be let out like that
right
away. We both know that our criminal justice system needs a lot of reform. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times everyone knows that, but goes about it the wrong way.
Sure.
And then just creates more chaos and confusion and never really hits the root of the problem.
I mean, even child predators, there were two child predators that were let go without bail. Let me just read some of these and you can comment on them after.
Sure.
Now, this is since January 1st, and this is only four or five examples. Police believe that serial bank robber Jared Woodbury hit a Sixth Chase branch on Tuesday. If he's arrested again, the law mandates his rapid release. A grand jury has recommended Tiffany Harris, sprung twice in 3 days for assaults on passerbys, be charged with three felony hate crimes for one of her recent attacks, yet she'll still walk free at the conclusion of a court-ordered psych evaluation because the hate crime charge isn't one of the few that allow a judge to require bail. Jordan Randolph, 40 years old, was freed Monday after being charged in a drunk driving crash that killed Jonathan Flores Maldonado, 27, in Suffolk County.
If you're killing people from drunk driving.
I know. It's and judges have gotten the message that to not require bail even when the law allows it. In a single day last week, Brooklyn Criminal Court Judge Marguerite Daugherty released at least three defendants facing violent felony charges with no bail. One was an active duty Army soldier accused of firing a rifle out the window. Another allegedly shot two rounds at a vehicle, sending one woman he targeted to the hospital. And in a drug-related attack that sparked a reprisal shooting, which in turn injured three innocents. In each case, prosecutors wanted $100,000 bail, but they were let go. And Mayor de Blasio now has said New York is a sanctuary city law, so immigration officials cannot ask or cannot turn over illegal immigration. Even and one person, Riaz Khan, he's accused in the fatal beating of a 92-year-old woman 6 weeks earlier and after his arrest for attacking his own father. He was sent to court and they let him go. So here you're putting an illegal alien who murdered a 92-year-old woman and beat up his father, and this is crazy. So Assembly Speaker Democrat Carl Heastie still insists there's no need to fix the no bail law. And Tuesday they pushed yet another criminal justice reform: automatic parole hearings for convicts over 55. So they'll let them go.
So I don't really know what the answer is when it comes to bail laws, just because, you know, you get people that commit crimes that have a lot of money, terrible mm-hmm. crimes, and will just get off because they can pay the bail. So, like, I don't know if a bail system is the correct way to hold people. There's got to be some other better way, but, I mean, does that mean we just abolish it right away before we figure out a solution? Right. Like, I don't really know what the answer here is,
I think it would be like monetary based. So the less money a person has, the less bail they have to post. Because if you skip, you lose the money. Mm-hmm. People with money, let's say, you know, you got a millionaire that commits a crime. Well, then you post $1 million or $2 million bond. Take the house as bond, money, and I mean, if he skips, he's losing everything. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that may be a fair way to do it. So you're not really heavily penalizing people that can't afford it. Uh-huh. So I don't know. Like you say, there's no quick fix.
Right.
But it just doesn't seem what they passed is working. And maybe they ought to take a look at what their prior record was.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you got a habitual bank robber or whatever, that maybe you have to set a higher bail, because who knows, the next time he may use a gun.
Right.
You know, I don't know. It's I just don't like it the way it is.
Uh-huh.
You know, I just think, and there's, that was only an example. I think they said there's over 250 in 16 days of major crimes that were committed that people are on the street. So
yeah, Cuomo doesn't really do anything good for this state. You heard about the plastic bag ban starting March 1st.
I saw your post on Facebook too. You got a lot of responses on that.
I did.
I couldn't believe it.
I just don't see how, I mean, as society and as the market plays out, people were already abandoning plastic bag use mm-hmm. a while ago. I remember my parents, they don't always remember the reusable bags, but they try to.
Yeah.
And they started using them a while back. And, I mean, people were starting to get into that. And, I mean, eventually, if people cared enough, they would have stopped going to places that had plastic bags or whatever. I know Aldi hasn't used plastic bags in
quite a while.
Quite a long time, and I think you can buy them there, right? Or did they do away with that?
No, there's some places that eliminated it. I mean, and then other places you can buy them.
Right.
But I don't even think you should be able to buy them, actually. If there's such a bad thing on the environment, and I'm not the one that says, the world's going to end because of global warming or that, because what we do in the United States, I think they said, is only 5% of around the world, so we could eliminate all environmental problems and still not make a difference in the world. But there's islands out in the ocean
of trash,
and a lot of it's plastic, and they're like little islands. And that's pretty disgusting when you think about it, if there's an alternative thing that we can do. And I think people that can't go out and spend $5 or $8 for a reusable grocery bag probably should be able to get them at a pretty reasonable cost, like maybe go to the dollar store, and so that they're able to use them, because some of them can be expensive.
Definitely.
And, we're penalizing, again, people that really can't afford it that much.
Right.
So I think that would be a good way to help. And now they say that paper bags are worse than plastic.
Yeah, because they still clog the waterways and they still add to the littering. And I've seen downtown Albany. I know it's filled with trash. You've got bags in the trees and everything. Gosh. It looks gross, but some people are jerks.
Yep.
Unfortunately, and they're going to just leave their trash everywhere. And if you're like me, you've got 1,000 plastic bags under your kitchen sink.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to stop you from using them while you have them. And I don't know. I just think that it's more about the principle of the issue rather than the bags itself. It's what kind of power are we giving the government over our lives?
Oh, yeah.
If we are giving them the power to eliminate plastic bag usage, what's going to stop them from any other grab at our everyday personal lives?
Well, there was a local store that said, I think it was Stewart's, they're not using plastic bags, they're not using plastic straws, they're either going to paper straws or...
I did hear this,
something or other kind of straw. There's two kinds of straws. One is paper and the other is, I don't remember, but it's something to do with paper, a cardboard or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a little bit ridiculous,
If they want to do it, they can do it.
Oh, they can do it, sure, but you say, how much can the government impose on us? So remember when, who's the guy that's running for mayor now? Bloomberg, when he eliminated 16-ounce drinks, soda.
Fountain drinks.
When you go into a restaurant. Yeah. Well, then you get 4 8-ounce drinks. Right. You know what I mean? So it's like nonsensical. They do that, I think, to make themselves look good.
Right, that they care about the issue.
Yeah.
They really don't.
No.
No, not at all. I hate paper straws. Oh, I absolutely hate them.
I never used one.
Because they get all crumbled up in your drink and stuff, and it just sucks. Like, don't be a jerk. Just throw it away.
Right, and what are they using to make the paper that's in your drink?
Right.
It's got
to
be something.
That's what a lot of people are saying, is that switching to, like, paper bags or switching to these reusable bags, making these reusable bags uses more energy than the plastic bags, honestly. And you're like fighting fire with fire on this one.
Sure.
And there's a lot of people that are coming out with like biodegradable plastic bags and like stuff that when it's been in the water, like say it gets in the ocean, it starts to break down.
Oh, that would be great.
So there's things that are coming that if you just let them come naturally, but now that we can't use these plastic bags, are these biodegradable, eco-friendly plastic bags, are they too under this ban?
Sure.
Like, I just don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what. I had a discussion with someone, and I think it's an upcoming guest, about what's wrong in the country today. And I said that my outlook was that we are getting too politically correct today. I mean, we can't do things that we want to do because it's not politically correct. Even to the point of telling someone a joke that, I mean, isn't bad. It's ridiculous. I just don't understand it. But I think that's what's driving all this baloney. I mean, it's politically correct to use paper straws.
Right.
And even though they don't break down that well, or paper bags, that's what they want to go for. And, you know, they shouldn't be telling us what to do.
Right. I know when I'm serving, we don't automatically hand out straws anymore. Mm-hmm. We give them to people who ask for them to try to save the turtles or whatever. Because, you know, you'll give them to some people, and some people will be like, ugh, I could never use a plastic straw. So we just give them to people who ask.
Sure.
And I think that's how it should be. And, like, companies, if they want to go paper straws or whatever, so be it. But it shouldn't have any kind of law enforcing that. I know a good alternative to straws is the metal straws that are being sold now.
Okay.
That you can buy. So, like, when you go to Starbucks, you'll get your drink. And instead of getting a straw from them, one of their stupid paper straws,
right,
you can just stick your metal straw.
And it's reusable.
Yeah, and you get to bring it home and wash it and stuff.
You can buy those?
Yes. Sometimes they're pretty expensive. I'm sure you can find cheap ones at the dollar store.
Sure.
But that's a good alternative. I don't know what the energy behind making those is, but that is something that I would prefer over paper straws.
Oh, yeah. I know you want to get to Iowa, and I just want to make one comment, because we had talked about homeless people in the past. Uh-huh. And in California, the Ninth Circuit Court overturned a lower court's decision about how to deal with homeless people. Well, the Ninth Circuit said that if homeless people want to sleep on public property, and that's on the street or in city parks, you
so
can't.
Anywhere that's not private.
Anywhere, right? That's not private, you have to let them. So if they're sleeping on downtown and you they're in the middle of the sidewalk and you want to tell them that, or the police come up and tell them that they have to move, that they can't do that. You can't, and you can't tell them where they have to go. Because the court said that's cruel and inhumane action. So,
but feeding them food is cruel and inhumane.
It is. That's right. Or saying that, you know, there's a shelter you can go to sleep, but if they want to sleep on the street in public view, they can do it any time of the day. And they were saying that in Los Angeles, there are so many homeless people that they actually could have their own city. There's
the homeless 40,000 problem out there is incredible.
And they said that the refuse that they create, and the, you know, going to the bathroom on the streets and getting washed into the sewers, it just goes out into the ocean.
Uh-huh. They're having a big pollution problem there.
And disease.
And disease, yep.
They had I can't remember the name of this doctor. He's on TV, you know. Not Dr. Phil, but he was saying there's occurrences now, and there's a lot of them, of diseases that we didn't have to worry about anymore. But because of what they're doing, there's diseases, and they can be terminal too, because a lot of these people have hepatitis. And he said that it's just flowing into the water system, and it's getting to be really catastrophic out there.
Right, yeah. Back in the age of Industrial Revolution, mm-hmm. in Europe, I mean, there was so much disease and sickness. Would you had these big cities pop up, and there's not good plumbing. You know,
yeah,
everyone's
sure.
just dumping their waste in the streets, and there is a lot of sickness because of that. And we learned a lot from that to be a lot cleaner. So we didn't have those diseases and sickness. And sure. Now we just have this homeless problem that mimics those type of living situations. Yeah. And now we're just seeing things pop up that haven't been here in a long right. time.
Well, I thought you'd be interested in that because I know we did a couple segments you did on homeless mm-hmm. and what you can't do to help them.
Right. You can't make a little shack that's all just everything in one spot because it's not of code.
Right.
To help them and rent it to them as need for like $2 a day or something. You
but
can't
they
do
can
that.
Make their own tent.
Right.
Out of cardboard, and that's okay.
Right.
See, so it's ridiculous. So the Iowa caucuses are coming up.
Yes, they just had the Iowa debate. It was a pretty boring debate. Did you watch it?
No.
No?
I don't watch any of those.
I actually watched the whole thing. Sometimes I just, like, skip through it. But I actually watched the whole thing because it was a pretty slow week at work. And it's not much to do.
Yeah.
So I think, honestly, Bernie Sanders seems to be doing the best out of all of them, although he's still not even doing great. Like, his answers to things, he doesn't really answer the question. He kind of just talks about whatever he wants. And everybody else didn't really answer the questions either, but I feel like if I had to pick somebody that did better than the rest, Bernie did better, just because Elizabeth Warren really didn't do great. No. Did you see her attacking Bernie?
Oh, yeah. She refused to shake his hand and then called him a liar. And
right.
the mic was still on, which was good because you could hear the bet. Yeah, she's, I think
she's using that as just like she knows that he's doing better than her,
mm-hmm.
using this as an attack. So not the whole Me Too movement, but kind of similar. Just like I've been squashed by a male superior and
right.
whatever. She's trying to use it to her advantage, and who knows if it happened or didn't. Why are you bringing it up now?
I know. Well, you know this because you watch him, but every time I've seen Joe Biden speak and Bernie Sanders speak, what scares me is that they're forgetting a lot of stuff. I mean, when they're talking.
Oh, Joe Biden
and
is terrible.
Under pressure, under the president, under that pressure, how are these two people going to be able to concentrate? And I don't understand. I mean, there's got to be a limit on age, I would think.
Or at least health.
Right.
Like, have some kind of, like, physical standards. Like
pass a
doctor.
Mental test. I mean,
mental test. Yeah.
You know, I mean, well, that could. I mean, you could determine in somebody that's 80 years old. You know how? I don't know. I just can't see those two reacting to pressure that well. You know.
No, Joe Biden had a terrible night. He's not going to win anything. No, I don't see him winning anything.
Now, how do you feel about the impeachment hearings taking Warren, Bernie Sanders, that Klobuchar, and there's one other senator that's running out? They can't be in Iowa because of the impeachment hearings, because their senators have to be there. So that may give, Buttigieg or whatever his name is, more opportunity because he'll be able to go door to door.
Yeah, he's not strong.
No, he isn't.
No. I don't know. They're supposed to be there for the impeachment hearing. Let them be there.
All the time, right?
Yeah. Honestly, Buttigieg had a terrible night, too. He says a lot of nothing.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to say this about everybody. They all said a lot of nothing. Klobuchar has absolutely nothing to her platform. Steyer, I'm confused about him. I feel like he's doing this for fun.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't seem to have any interest in what is going
and
on.
He's got enough money to do it for
right.
fun.
Mm-hmm. I know they talked about, being commander in chief, they talked about the wars, and stuff like that. And so it was really interesting watching them ask Biden about some of these wars because he was in the Obama administration.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kept saying that we shouldn't send anyone anywhere unless the overwhelming vital interests of the United States are at stake. They were not at stake. So, like, he wouldn't directly say that, like, the wars that Obama started were unnecessary, but he kind of alludes to it. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like he doesn't want to directly address that.
Right.
And it is interesting that a lot of people across the board were saying, like, these wars from the Obama and Bush period and the Trump period, because they bring up his staying in Syria and whatever, which they were against staying or leaving Syria, but they're going to bring it up now anyway. They're all saying they're against these wars, but it's funny that Tulsi Gabbard was the only one against these wars, and she got, like, pushed out by the DNC so hard, and now you got all these people on stage against the wars.
Yeah, but when...
And there's no repercussions to that.
Right, but when President Trump was going to remove our forces in Syria, remember they all said, how can you do that?
Right.
And, see, I don't think whoever gets it, I think Trump's going to rip them apart. Because they're saying things now, and these people have been in office for quite a while. I mean, Biden's been in office for over 35 years.
Right.
And he voted for the war in Iraq. So, I mean, what's he going to say?
I think he didn't. I think everyone kept saying, oh, no, he did. It was the Afghanistan war. Everyone kept saying there was only one person that voted against Afghanistan.
And I looked it up. Biden.
It was Barbara Lee was the only one to vote against Afghanistan.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, he did vote for Iraq. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's been saying, "Well, he made a mistake." Well, he voted for it.
Yeah. So he did keep saying that we made a mistake. It's like, how is war a mistake? How can you go up there and just use such a simple word as it was a mistake?
Right.
Like, thousands of lives were lost. Not only Middle Eastern lives, but American as well. And other countries that were there with us. And you're just going to say it was a mistake. So how are we going to believe your judgment? Right?
Yeah.
So what if you take office and start a war and that war ends up being a mistake? And, like, we already know that... We know that all these wars have been a mistake.
Sure.
And, well... A disaster is a better word.
Right.
But it's very too lighthearted to use the word mistake, and it's kind of sickening, and I wish people had more outrage about that. Like I say all the time, we live in an outrage culture, and no one uses that outrage for the right things.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, it's like now we're in Iraq, and, you know, you have the two factions there, and... The one faction voted to have us leave the country, and the other people in power didn't even show up for the vote because they want us to stay there because we're training their military. Well, what I think is we should train their military and then go. I mean, you know, what are you training the military for if you're not going to let them fight themselves? Then the people started protesting because they wanted us to stay. What happened in Iran after we killed, you know, that terrorist there? And, you know, the Ayatollah is screaming, you know, America's no good, whatever, whatever. People started protesting big time over there. They want a change in the top. And they know what they want. I mean, they don't want these people in power because they're crazy people. So countries that talk bad about us, their citizens now are starting to revolt. And I think that's good. I mean, Hong Kong, the Chinese people there started to protest. And, you know, people just don't want that oppression anymore. And here you go again. They don't want to do what the government tells them they have to do. They right. want a little bit of freedom. Maybe they don't want democracy, all right, uh-huh. our way of democracy, but they want a little freedom and be able to do things they want to do.
Right, and the only thing that sucks about the Middle East, though, is that there's so many powerful people that are very, very scary and violent that you take out one and you just fill it with yeah. another crazy person. There's a line of them behind. And yeah. it's like they've all got their eyes on it. As soon as it gets wiped out, they're in there next. Yeah. And so it's like there's not much we can do to help them.
No. I think, you know, but getting back to Iowa debates, what are these people saying about that?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't think one of them has a clear message on what None we should did. Do.
No, nobody had a strategy. And I think Steyer was the one that brought this up. I could be wrong, though, but I believe it was Steyer. He says, look at the Washington Post. They released the Afghanistan papers. There was no strategy, and nobody here is bringing up a strategy, and blah, blah, blah. He didn't bring up a strategy either, no. but he did bring up a good point that it's like, well, listen to what these people are saying. But I just found it crazy that all these people are all of a sudden anti-war, and they shunned Tulsi Gabbard for it
right.
and called her a Russian spy and an asset, and she's not been in the debates in forever. I know she had like a little live YouTube video or something like that during mm-hmm. the debate. She was, like, talking about the questions on her live video.
Really?
So, like, she was having her own debate by herself.
Well, that's good, though.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't think she has enough support.
Not now, but maybe in 4 years, she may.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think, because I think that the Democratic Party is going to go more, way more to like, Bernie's and Warren's side. It's going to get more uh-huh. socialist. So, she might end up being a moderate, even though she has some social programs that she wants to see. But I think she's a pretty smart lady, and I think that she may be setting herself up now for the future because she's right. not giving up. You know, I mean, most of these people, when they get out of the race, you don't hear from them.
Uh-huh.
But she's really making statements, still giving her opinions, and she's a smart lady.
Definitely. One thing I felt about Bernie Sanders is I don't understand why he's not using the fact that he was cheated out of the Democratic primaries
right,
against Hillary Clinton. Why is that not his main thing? Because that could be so powerful for
right.
him. Just the fact that he
was cheated out of
right.
it.
Right. And he's still not the pick for the DNC. They're all with Elizabeth Warren. And I honestly don't think she's strong enough. And another thought that I had the whole time watching this was nobody on that stage is strong enough, I think, to beat Donald Trump.
No.
Bernie Sanders would stand a chance. He definitely would. He yeah. would have the numbers behind him. But as far as debating Trump, I don't think he'd be good enough to win debates.
I don't think any of them would be.
No, Elizabeth Warren would crumble.
Yeah.
Biden would have a heart attack or a stroke.
Right, and they'd tie him all up. He wouldn't be able to think right.
And Klobuchar would have a panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
She's all fritzy on stage already. Right.
Bloomberg would... I don't even know if Bloomberg would be the pick. I think he's
no.
kind of fizzle out. I don't think there's one of them up there that can even hold a candle. And I think that's why they're talking about a brokered convention and maybe getting, because Hillary has been indicating now that she'll be available if she's asked. And
well, Michelle, she's not going to win either.
She won't win. Michelle Obama, she's saying she won't. She could possibly win, but here again, I think there's so many people that voted for Obama that the first time, and they didn't vote for him the second time because of his policies and that she may not I mean, she may not be that strong. She may be strong among women, but I don't know. I think it's going to be a tough row for any of the Democrats this right. year to win election.
As far as debating goes, though, you know how well the Obamas were at giving speeches yeah. and at debates. They something about them is very charismatic when they speak.
Yep.
And I think as far as winning debates, if Michelle Obama ran and got the nomination, she would be able to stand up against Trump and have good debates.
I agree.
Would she win? I don't know. I know she would probably have a huge following, a lot of numbers behind her. But I think she would be the strongest to go against Trump. I don't think anyone running right now is strong enough. And Hillary Clinton would just be humiliated again.
Well, that plus the fact that so many people didn't want her the last time, and they voted for Trump because of the options. And if she's been making a fool of herself the last 3 years, and right. if she went in again, I mean, like yeah, he'd annihilate her.
And there's so much controversy around her.
Yep.
And nobody wants her there. I can't say nobody. There are a lot of people that want her there.
Well, there's probably people, but I think they're people that would vote for anybody. I mean, let's face it. There's people out there that hate Trump so much, even though he's done so good.
That they'll vote for anyone.
Yeah, they'll vote for anybody. I mean, I'll say that one saying Nancy Pelosi said about AOC, that if you put a label on a glass of water, Democrat, that people would vote for the glass of water if there was running against a Republican in that district. And I think that's what would happen here. People hate Trump so much, they'd vote for anybody against him. Now, yeah. I read an article the other day that Wall Street said that if Warren gets the nomination, that they would spend their money backing Trump. And they're pretty Democratic, Wall Street people. But they won't support her monetarily wise because they think she'd be a disaster for the economy.
And she doesn't have a chance against Trump.
No.
So
no way.
No. I think that's a reality that the DNC is facing right now. They might have to start realizing that they don't really have any valuable players. I mean, as far as numbers go, they have two that have really strong, high numbers. But as far as debating Trump, we all know how Trump is in debates. He will walk all over you. And these people would let him. And you have to be really a really good speaker and really be able to take what he throws at you
to focus
debate
on
him.
Issues.
Right.
But, you know, the thing about Trump is I think he's one of the only presidents in I don't know how many years that promised he would do things and he followed through on them.
Not all of them, but.
Not all of them, but there was some that, I mean, you can't. You can't do things unless the other side
right.
is going to help you. And mm-hmm. they hate him so much, they won't, I mean, you know, they just won't give him credit for anything. I mean, the deal that he made with China is huge. And the Democrats are saying, well, it's not enough. And, you know.
But yeah, something about climate stuff having to be in there.
Right.
It's stupid.
But, I mean, it's like, give him credit for what he did, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Give him credit for the few things that he has done and take away credit for the things that he hasn't.
That he hasn't done. That's what you do. And
right.
I think if you're a candidate and you do that and you have some goals that you can set, mm-hmm. you stand a chance. But not having anything, these people I don't think could stand up at all.
No, I don't think so either. So I think I'm going to cut it short there. Just got to go tutor for midterms. So we'll probably pick up on this next time, or maybe we'll have something new that pops up. Maybe some impeachment stuff will pop up.
Hopefully it'll be over.
Yeah. And I hope you guys all have a great week.